in Matthew chapter 6. We should finish that up today and go into 7. And we'll go ahead and pray and then get into the lesson. Father in heaven, thank you for this day, Lord, and thank you again for a place to come to worship you, Lord, and to sing praises to your name and to study your words, Lord. And we pray that our hearts and our eyes will be open to them today. And Lord, we pray for those that are in need of healing, Lord, that you would just touch them, Lord, and heal what they need to be healed. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay. I think we ended in verse 29, somewhere along those lines. The Bible says, "And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" And so, I think we went over last week that Solomon had he had dead clothes. These are dead clothes, and no matter how he was arrayed, he wasn't arrayed like one of the lilies, because they have live clothes, living clothes. And wherefore, the Bible says in verse 30, is an illustration. 1 Peter 1:24 says, "All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flowers of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." And so, if you look at what he's saying here, he's saying that God takes care of all of the flesh, even the heathen. And so, don't you think he's going to take care of you? And that's what he's talking to the nation about here. And so what he's saying is, you need to start believing my words. He says, "O ye of little faith." And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so they're not believing what he's saying. And he's saying, you need to start believing what I'm saying. And verse 31, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." And so here God is discriminating against the Gentiles. He's saying, that's what these people are doing. You need not to be doing that. Because God is coming, Jesus is coming to the Jews. He's coming to the Jews first. And then he's going to go to the Gentiles, because the Jews are going to reject. Verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And so here's the answer. He says, if you'll do this, then you won't take thought of food and raiment. If the Jews seek after righteousness in the tribulation, what will he get? He will get the kingdom of heaven after the tribulation. If a Christian seeks after righteousness, the Bible says in Philippians 4:18-19, that God will supply all your needs. He says he'll supply all your needs. Go with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 9:6. The Bible says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." And so, if you sow unto righteousness sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow unto it bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. And vice versa. Now, can you think of a person in the scriptures who did this, and all these things were added unto him? Who sought after righteousness? Solomon. He's even named in Matthew. He wanted the Lord to give him knowledge so he could judge the people. And what ended up happening? He got everything on earth. anything he wanted. Verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's pretty interesting. One ruins today by worrying about tomorrow. When tomorrow comes, then worry about it. Because there's enough in evil in today to worry about, that if you start worrying about tomorrow, just think of it. It says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, there is enough evil for today, if you think about it. There's evil all around us. And so, to worry about it, to even think about doing right for tomorrow, is going to be hard when you have the evil today to deal with. And so, what he's saying is, don't make today more evil than it already is going to be. And that's what he's saying here. And so we can glean some very, very practical lessons here from these passages as a Christian. After all, it's a sin to worry. It's a sin to be full of care. Philippians 4:6. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so, what God is doing here is he's rebuking these Jews for worrying, and he's warning them way in advance. And God is like that. He'll warn way in advance of judgment to come. And he does this so that these Jews will be ready when it comes time for judgment to fall, so they'll be able to endure it. And that's what he's warning these Jews about. Matthew chapter 7. Here's a verse that every lost person knows. You go out on the streets, judge not that ye be not judged, or lest ye be judged. And they say it, lest ye be judged. We say it, that ye be not judged. The context here in these verses is knowing that you have things in your life that need to be dealt with, transgressions, iniquities. You need to keep that in mind when you're dealing with other people's transgressions and iniquities. And if you're merciful and gracious in your dealings with the failures and faults of other people, then you can expect that other people are going to be merciful to you when they see your faults and they see your transgressions, and they'll see them. Everybody's going to see them, because everybody's got them. And if you're hateful when you're assaulting your brother about his sins and his transgressions, then you can expect that they're going to be hateful and in their assault towards you when they are accusing you. And go with me, if you would, to Galatians 6. Galatians 6. One. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And you can see that overtaken in a fault, it's not a permanent condition. People get overtaken in faults every day of their lives. And those that are spiritual, they get overtaken in faults as well. There's going to be days that they're not spiritual. Look what the Bible says. Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And verse 1, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And so what you have here is you have a situation that the one that is spiritual one day and is able to help his brother, he may the next day be needing that same brother that he helped help him. And so we're to consider these things, and we're to be very careful as we're helping our brothers. And that's what the Matthew passage here in chapter 7 is talking about here. You got to be careful on how you deal with other people's transgressions, and how you see a mote in your brother's eye, and what you do. Every believer has the same burden, and that's helping other believers, helping each other out. That's the burden that we have here in Galatians. Matthew 7. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Now, this measure is a standard you go by. It's a standard that you go by is like a measurement. It's a standard you set for somebody else. So, if you set a standard for other people, you need to live by that same standard. You don't set one standard for one person and you have a different standard. There's a lot of other religions do that. And they'll say, well, you're saved this way, and then they say that they can't lose their salvation. They'll say, you can lose it, but we can't. How are you losing it, and how am I losing it, and you're not? And so, in the tribulation now, to have anything in the tribulation, you will be required to take the mark of the beast. And that would include to live, to get along with somebody, eating, being able to get clothes. And so if a Jew comes to a person's house who doesn't have the mark, and those that are in the house say that you're unworthy, say that they're unworthy, well then, when Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to say to them, you're unworthy to enter into the kingdom. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And so the unsaved, they have it wrong. They think if you judge somebody, that you're going to get judged. They think they're going to escape judgment by not judging anybody. And that's not the case. Because verse 2 says, you're going to be judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Even if you don't judge anybody, you're going to get judged. And so, you're supposed to judge. A Christian is supposed to judge. But you're supposed to judge the way you want to be judged. And look with me, if you would, in James 2. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. And so the idea here is that if you're going to have mercy, if you're going to want mercy, you're going to have mercy when you're judging somebody. Because if you want mercy when it's your time, if you didn't show any mercy, you're not going to get any. And that's the idea here. And so Do you know why a man goes to hell in this dispensation? Excuse me. It's because he doesn't want mercy. He wants justice. He doesn't want mercy. He wants justice. He says, I'm good enough. I'm good enough. And so he gets what he asked for. You want to be good enough and judge yourself by your standard? Okay, you're going to get it. And he'll get justice. And so in the tribulation, you know why a man goes to hell in the tribulation? Because he doesn't show mercy. He doesn't show mercy to somebody else. He has no interest in mercy. He's not being merciful. He sees that Jew naked and he doesn't clothe him. He sees that Jew thirsty and he doesn't give him anything to drink. He sees that Jew in prison, he doesn't go and visit them. He sees that Jew's need, whatever the need is, and he doesn't meet it. And so he's not being merciful. And so when the Lord comes back, the Lord's not going to be merciful to that man because he didn't show mercy to Jesus Christ. Because as he didn't do it to that Jew, he didn't do it to the Lord. And so if a person is seeking mercy, he's going to want to help the Jew. He's going to want to help that person in need. And a Christian is to judge the basis of salvation on Jesus Christ. And so if you're trusting in something else, if you're trusting in someone else, then you're to judge that person as a lost person. How else are we going to be able to say, hey, are you saved? Do you know how to get to heaven? I mean, how are you going to give them the gospel? They don't know what it is. You find out to see if they're saved. And so we judge every day. And then everything that we do, we're judging things, we're judging people. And so we're not to put a standard on someone else for salvation that you don't keep. And this is what Paul is condemning the Jews about in Romans, Romans 2:1. Go with there if you would. Go there if you want. Romans 2:1. Therefore thou art excusable, O man, whatsoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? And so Paul's condemning them for this, because they're holding somebody up to a standard that they themselves are not keeping. And so it doesn't matter which dispensation you're in, you're not going to get away with judging somebody at a different standard that you judge yourself. Just not going to happen. And a Christian is the judge. 1 Corinthians 2:15. 1 Corinthians 2:15. The Bible says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. And you can judge things according to a spiritual book, but now if you get outside of the realms of the Bible and you start judging people, how are you judging them? According to what standard? And see, the standard has been set. You've got the Word of God. And so you can judge somebody according to God's words. And that's spiritual judgment. But if you start judging somebody in your physical nature, it's just not going to work. You're never going to be able to keep that. You're never going to keep the Bible either, but I mean, at least you got a standard to judge somebody by. And so you have to judge. Everybody has to judge. And Paul makes fun of the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 6. He says, dare any of you have any matter against another? Verse 1, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. And so he's making fun of them. He's saying, hey, you're not judging. You're not smart enough to judge. So set somebody up in the church that doesn't know anything. That's dumb. And he can judge. I think that's funny. And so we're to judge as Christians. We've got the Word of God. We've got the Bible. We can judge spiritual things. We can judge by a spiritual book. We've got all the answers there. Verse 3 through 5. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So, when a person has sin in their life, they may or they may not be blind to it. However, when they look at somebody else's sin, they see it greater, whether it is or whether it isn't. You see what I'm saying? They're looking at somebody else's sin and saying it's bigger than mine. And so what they do is they emphasize the unimportant and they de-emphasize the important things. And this is the phrase that they strain at a gnat, they swallow a camel, they strain at a gnat. That's a Bible verse, Matthew 23:24. And what they're worried about is they're worried about Jesus healing on the Sabbath day when they could care less about the God of the Sabbath. And they worry more about you washing your hands before you eat when they need to wash their heart. And so what Jesus is saying here is, he's saying, don't judge the sin in other lives that are small first. Consider your own sin that is great. Go with me, if you would, to Luke 18. Luke 18:10. The Bible says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He's looking at his own sin. He's not looking at the Pharisees. But the Pharisee is looking at the publican. Is that the publican? Yeah. The Pharisee is looking at the publican's sin. And what the Pharisee has done is, he's saying, thanks for not making me like this guy. And you know what that is? That's pride. And the man is not considering that pride overthrew the devil. And pride is a great sin. And so in the tribulation, a man will look for an excuse to keep from helping his fellow Jew. And his motive will be that he is more afraid of the Antichrist than he is of God. And the Bible says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. That's Proverbs 29:25. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10. And so in the tribulation, a man will be afraid of losing the power to buy the power to sell and to get money. And so they'll judge the little things, why this Jew came to him for help, but they won't judge the big sin, and that is why they're not helping him. They won't help him because they don't fear God. They don't fear God, and they don't believe God's words. And that's the greater sin. And so, Matthew chapter 7, verse 5. Matthew chapter 7, verse 5. It says, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." He says, do you want to see clearly? Do you want to understand? Have the eyes of your understanding being enlightened? Then you have to get right with God. Get your sin right with God. Get your heart right. And that's what he's been saying all in verse 6. The heart, the heart, the heart. Chapter 6, chapter 5. The heart, the heart, the heart. Get your heart right. And then you might be able to see clearly to help your brother. And that's Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And so if you get the beam out of your own eye, you won't be so critical of your brother's sin when it's time to help him. And we all have that burden of helping our brother, he that is spiritual. And Paul says it another way. Don't excuse and accuse. Right? He says Romans 2:15. Romans 2:15. Don't make up an excuse. Don't excuse your own sins and say your brother's is worse than you are. Romans 2:15. For the Gentiles which have not the law, verse 14, do by nature the things contained in the law. These having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness in their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. And the Bible says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than him or themselves. And why do you want to look better than your brother? Right? Why does one person want to look better than their brother? It's vainglory. And the Bible practices esteem the other better than you. So those are the teachings there in Matthew chapter 7. Verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Okay, in the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, those are holy. The Bible is holy. Romans 1, 2. The redeemed of the Lord. The Jew is holy. The redeemed of the Lord. And that's in Isaiah 62, 11 and 12. And there's a city in the Bible that's holy. The New Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Dogs is a picture of unsaved men and false prophets. Philippians 3 shows you about the unsaved men. The pearl, you've got precious stones and converts. Go with me, if you would, to Zechariah 9:16. Zechariah 9:16. We'll look at one of these. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown, lifted up as an ensign upon his land. We'll go to another one, Malachi 3:17. couple pages down. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And so, and then you've got swine, which is a, if you go to 2 Peter 2:22. Here you've got swine versus dogs. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. So you've got a brother and a sister there. Dog and a swine. But in the tribulation, there'll be some converted. There'll be some converted there, as in James. I think it's James 5:20. James 5:20. You say, it says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. And so what you have is, in the tribulation, there'll be souls, you can be able to convert somebody or save somebody from death when you tell them about Jesus. When they get told about Jesus and they show them that, hey, you, if you take the mark of the beast, you'll go to hell. And when you show, you'll say, you'll convert that sinner. And it looks like if you give a converted Jew or one of God's elect who have been redeemed, when you take them into your house and you're helping them and you decide, oh, well, you know what, I better call on them because somebody, maybe the neighbor across the street saw me bring these Jews in here. Or maybe they show up at the door and they knock up at the door like in Nazi Germany and they say, who are you hiding in here? Who are you hiding in here? And they give them over. They give these converted Jews over to the false prophets, the dogs, or the swine. They cast their pearls before swine. And so that's what happened in Germany, and that's what's going to happen again with the Jews in the tribulation. And they'll be casting their pearls before swine. They're pearls that they could have had, pearls that they could have gave to Jesus Christ, and they're casting them out there and giving them away to the Antichrist because they're afraid of their lives. And so we'll go ahead and stop there, and we'll go pray and until we meet again. Father in heaven, thank you for your words, Lord, and thank you for the teachings that are found in them and the truth that is locked away in there, Lord, and you lock away your truth, so we'll search it out and find it, and then it's a treasure to us, Lord. And we pray that we would consider these things, Lord. And we pray for those that are traveling here today, and we pray for the lessons that are going to be taught here and the preaching of your words. And we pray that we'd get a blessing out of it, and we'd give a blessing as well. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.